This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
A global warming glitch.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Climate change will be the big topic at tomorrow's G8 summit in Germany. President Bush will talk about the U.S. plan for cutting greenhouse gases. But he could have a PR problem. Sam Eaton reports from our sustainability desk.
A confidential report obtained by the Associated Press reveals that the White House has drastically scaled back the U.S.'s ability to monitor climate change from space. A new round of satellites intended to gather data like sea level rise and solar radiation will now focus solely on weather forecasting. The White House blames cost overruns. Chet Kablinski, who heads the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Research Program, says the satellites supply key data.
Observations are central to understanding climate change. They provide a basis of what the state of the climate is now in the context of what it's been in the past, and provides a vision for what trend is it headed on.
In the leaked document, government scientists say the stripped-down satellites will put the U.S.'s overall climate program in serious jeopardy. In Los Angeles, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The Chinese stock market is not for the faint of heart. Remember the 8% drop yesterday? Today, the Shanghai Index plunged 7% early in the day, then stocks rallied and closed up 2.5%. There was a late-day rally on Wall Street as well. The Dow gained 8 points to 13,676. The Nasdaq put on 4 to 2618. The S&P 500 added a couple to 1539. Other Asian markets had modest gains today. European shares are higher as well. Here's a sign of the times. Gas prices have been going up so quickly, gas stations can't keep up with their manual signs. So a lot of them are switching to electronic ones. Elizabeth Wynn Johnson has more.
If there's a watchword in fuel prices, it's volatility. Take this recent string of record-breaking averages in Idaho, rattled off by Dave Carlson of AAA.
May 7th, it was 311. May 8th, it was 312. May 9th, it was 313.
For gas stations, that's a lot of time wasted shimmying up a ladder or maneuvering a long pole to swap out rows of plastic numbers. Enter the automated sign. As prices rise and fall, it can keep pace instantaneously. Greg Stajahar of Colorado-based Skyline Products says the signs cost thousands, but pay for themselves within a year or two.
The owners of the stations, with their margins as small as they are, realize that when customers are willing to drive across the street or the other side of the intersection or whatever else to save a penny or two, they have to make sure that they are competitive in the market.
No word on what's going to happen to all those long poles. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Fox Searchlight, presenting Once, the tale of two kindred spirits making music and finding romance on the bustling streets of Dublin, now playing in select theaters. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
Today we launch a weekly series on the nuts and bolts of building a small business. We've gotten a lot of emails from listeners asking for stories on small business. We decided listeners would be the best people to tell those stories. Today, the perils of success. Steve Tripoli reports from our entrepreneurship desk.
Success killed Kristen Sundberg's business. That's right, killed it. How?
I realized that I couldn't really follow through on what I'd promised.
She was making simple lavender sachets out of her home in Tampa, Florida. They're those small linen bags stuffed with lavender that add a nice smell to closets and drawers. It all started at her sister's wedding shower, but took off fast. Specialty shops caught the scent, then big department stores. That simple home business was soon outrunning Kristen Sundberg's dream of a cozy cottage industry.
I had, you know, hefty bags of lavender in my apartment and vintage linen hanging everywhere.
Shipping, billing, and marketing chores piled up.
I don't know. I guess there just wasn't enough time in the day.
She wasn't mentally ready to take on hired help and hadn't thought about finding financing.
So it turned into this just, you know, crazy situation of me running around doing all the work and just, you know, not feeling stable, I guess.
Everything just seized up and Sundberg's jet-propelled startup collapsed. She was depressed about how things turned out and disappointed with her own lack of planning, but also relieved to just go and get a day job. Out in San Rafael, California, Marketplace listener Mike Van Horn sees this from two angles. He runs his own successful startup, and that business is advising small businesses. So with that resume, his startup must be a model, right?
I've made every mistake in the book.
Including, you guessed it, not handling the growth that success brings very well. He says he failed to delegate, didn't do enough marketing, and was slow to implement new strategies. The problem Van Horn sees in himself and many clients who are succeeding is what he calls the Lone Ranger complex.
They think they have to do everything. They got to wear all the hats. You know, I'm the expert. The business is moi. That's just a habit up in your head that you've got to be willing to let go of.
He says if you really want to be a Lone Ranger, then do that. But know in advance if your plan is to grow or stay small. That's where Kristen Sundberg stumbled. So now let's turn to our small business expert for this series. Patty Green is provost of Babson College. She's written extensively about entrepreneurship. Green says Kristen Sundberg and Mike Van Horn both struggled with turning from the creative side of their businesses to the business side. But she says there are two ways to look at creativity.
Creativity or innovation is actually not just in figuring out what's the coolest lavender sachet you can possibly have, but it really is about all the other pieces of putting the business together.
And if you still don't want to sweat details like marketing or distribution?
That's the time to think about a partner.
Green says lots of schools and small business programs are great at teaching how to launch a business, but lousy at teaching entrepreneurs what to do next. She says that's got to change. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Join the listeners who are sharing the challenges of building a small business. Tell us a story on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.